Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Ellison. It is Tuesday, November 27th, 2012.
Wow. Okay, that's a good save.
I haven't done the stammering guy. So for the year, I haven't done the stammering guy.
Episode 8.36, the Week 12 Recap Show.
What a week. Oh my gosh. Started on Thursday, Turkey Day.
I was thankful for Thanksgiving. And for food, and for football, and
were you thankful for
family,
the scale?
And
I put on about 4 pounds.
No, I'm all about F. It has to start with F.
Oh, food, football, family friends. Did we say football?
Yes, we did.
Fan football.
Even though the results on Thanksgiving didn't particularly
didn't
happy.
Suit your fancy per se.
But I only missed 4 games this week. So
I missed 5, at least, or six.
Or 7.
I missed enough that I'm not happy. I'll be honest with you. I'm not happy.
Jeff,
I'm not happy especially because
you know
some
what?
Of the...
We're going to start the show, and then I got to come back, and I have to.
You have to what?
Throw you under the bus. I stopped it for that! Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
I will take your bus throwing and I'll throw it right back at you because I have excuses galore. Remembers the James Bond character galore. Excuses galore.
Yes.
Excuses
that's
galore.
Not the name. But anyways, here you go. So... in the records that I have, you went 9-7.
All right. In the records I have, I went 10-6.
Okay.
That's a difference of one game.
It
now,
is.
How do we have different records is the real question.
Yeah, that is the real question. So I base my records off of what we say on the show. And that's usually the case. But, you know, you thought you had changed a game or two, and I went to our website, and you don't have your picks there. And then you told me this morning you don't have your picks on ESPN. So there are no real places. So we have to go back and listen to the entire show just so we can get your picks.
I'll do what I should do, which is to take your word for it, because you're right most of the time. But the reason
the
I will throw the bus back at you
is
why is there any confusion surrounding my picks? Why?
Why
because we did the show early. Because it was Thanksgiving week. Because there's family in town. Because my son's home, whom I haven't seen, and I love it to death.
Yes.
And so we've got all these extenuating circumstances, and I did not send myself back a copy of what we had done on the show, and I don't know that I saved the right document.
Yes.
And so there's all these extenuating that come down to one thing. It was Thanksgiving week.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't do what I did. I didn't keep to my schedule, my routine, and I'm a creature of habit.
And thousands of other people were able to get their picks online.
I'm a creature of habit. When we do shows on Wednesday that we do on Thursday, I also don't have as long to think about my stuff.
Yeah.
I knew with every ounce of me that the Panthers would beat the Eagles. I knew that. I knew the Browns were going to beat the Browns were going to beat.
I talked you out of that one. I
knew the Browns were going to beat the Steelers, but I'm easy to talk out of because it's early in the week.
Right.
My opinions haven't coagulated, so I'm easily swayed. I knew for a fact that the... No, I didn't know that the Jags would beat the Titans.
So I did cost you the Browns loss, but I also gave you the Lions loss because I talked you over to Houston. You were taking the Lions.
Yeah, and the fact is the Lions fought valiantly
they
in
did,
overtime, okay?
But you would have lost.
I would have lost.
So
but
I gave
just,
you that one.
There's things you lose.
I also talked you out of the Cardinals. You were taking Arizona to beat the Rams.
Which I don't know why, because I love the Rams. This is my point. I was confused.
Okay.
I was out of my schedule. Wednesday is not my day to make picks. Actually, Wednesday night is my night to make picks when I'm done working. But Wednesday, early... And we started early.
Yeah, we did.
You wanted to roll at 9 so you could take the girls to the movies.
They were off of school, and they needed some daddy time.
I understand. It was different.
Yes.
And as a result, there's a cluster F that goes off, and I take responsibility because it's my work.
All right.
But the bus is thrown back. You can keep your bus.
I'm throwing you under it.
But keep it.
There was plenty of time to do it at some point. Thursday morning.
Thursday morning?
Thanksgiving morning.
I woke up just in time for kickoff.
See, you set an alarm.
I don't have little kids. Yeah. I get to get up when I feel like it.
Oh, there you go.
And as it was, I was the first one up in the house.
But you know, there's responsibilities that you have to take care of.
Yeah,
little kids. So I have so added on top of that to me, little kids, taking them to the movies to go see Wreck-It Ralph, yet I still managed to get it done. Jeff looks at me with this, I'm going to punch you
in the
face.
Well, it's the incredulous look of a man who's already raised children, so it's like, just because you're doing your time doesn't mean I haven't done my time and I can't relate.
What I'm saying is that I still got it done.
When you're in that mode of handling children, you are in that mode. I went grocery shopping for Thanksgiving for the wife.
Yes.
Freaked me out. I used to be the guy who did grocery shopping.
Yes.
I'm not anymore. I lose that skill after a few years.
How do you lose the skill of going grocery shopping?
I do. And I was really kind of freaking out. First of all, there's too many
guys
in the grocery store.
How do I open the door to get into the store?
Now, I know that auto opens.
Okay,
I know that.
So you got
I
that
know
part.
That.
So then you're inside and you're like, do I go left? Or do I go right?
Well, see, it depends on the list. I didn't have a weekly grocery list. I had a Thanksgiving grocery list that includes can of pumpkin. I don't know where that is. I wouldn't even know where that was.
I'm sorry. I think right now we should just move on because I think you're digging yourself a bigger hole.
I'm pathetic.
I'm trying to get you out of it, so let's move on.
I'm pathetic. Just know, last night on TalkSport, I called the game perfectly. I said the Panthers would handle
Eagles.
It would come down to turnovers, and that is exactly what happened.
Okay.
So when it gets closer to game time, and I have all my faculties.
All I know is that we differed on five games. I got four of them, and you got the Jags, because the Titans apparently were so bad, they fired their offensive coordinator. Great, because that's going to help your 29th-ranked defense. All right.
Yeah, you know, teams, you think about Miami, and we can't run the ball. Let's sit Reggie Bush. You know, I mean, really, sometimes Andy Reid, what's the best part of our team right now?
Our
probably
defense.
The defense.
Yeah.
Let's fire that
defensive
guy
coordinator.
Forced square peg into a round hole.
Because it's the defense that's fumbling and throwing interceptions.
Absolutely.
Like mad.
Absolutely. I got a guy I never even heard of that ran for 178 yards and two touchdowns and turned it over twice last night.
Two fumbles there. But it was the fumble
Brian
on kickoff.
Brown. Dude.
On the kickoff that was the nail in the coffin there. Are we getting to it?
We are.
Let's jump into it. The Thanksgiving triple headers.
I coined the turkey tussle.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
The
we started off brilliantly at 9:30 in the morning with the Texans at the Lions.
Controversy.
Dun, 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 dun. Controversy.
Controversy. There's a Prince song called Controversy. It's pretty good, actually.
I bet there is.
A long time ago. Anyways, the controversy here is the Forsett touchdown. He was down. Clearly he was down. I'm not going to dispute that fact.
Correct.
But they didn't call him down. And I just tell anybody watching at full speed, did you know he was down?
No.
No. Nobody in the house did. Because I kept yelling.
I thought he might.
Was he down? Was he down? Was he down? Nobody.
You asked, was he? Because I thought he might be.
Right.
Might be.
But nobody knew he was down.
We don't know.
So the refs didn't call him down, and he goes on
to
score.
You know why? Because the refs shouldn't blow the whistle prematurely. They should let a play out a little bit.
And they know, you know what, he scores a touchdown. We'll get to review
when
this.
When it's a touchdown, we review all scores, so it won't really matter anyways.
But hothead Jim Schwartz knew beyond reasonable doubt that he was down, so he chucked his flag out there. Well, you know what, coach? You can't do that because now you've created a penalty, and penalties negate the ability to review the play.
Inadvertent flag was thrown. Delay of game penalty on the defense. 15-yard penalty.
So now that everybody has seen the replay, yes, he was clearly down, but you know what? They can't review it.
Kind of irrelevant,
because
Jim.
Your hothead coach threw a red challenge flag on a play that gets reviewed normally by the league, and you've now taken that opportunity away from the league to get the call right. Now, Is there something wrong with the rule? Probably.
Probably?
But you know what?
Probably?
Yeah, probably.
But there certainly is.
The rule is... We're going to look at every single touchdown, every scoring opportunity, every turnover. We're going to review it. Why throw the flag?
Why was the rule?
Why throw the flag? I'm asking you to answer the question. Why throw the flag?
Because,
if you know that it's going to get reviewed...
Shut up so I can answer the question.
Okay, why throw the flag?
It's an emotional game played by emotional people.
Keep your emotions in check. You're the head coach of a National Football League in a franchise.
Are you keeping your emotions in check right now? No,
because I'm tired of all the people saying
that the rule put in place.
I'll tell you why the rule was in place. So that the team that wants to challenge the play causes a penalty, a false start, or a holding, and then there's no play run, and then they decide, okay, you know what? Now I want to challenge it. So it gives them a little extra time to look at replays and then decide whether they want to challenge the play or not.
The biggest reason, according to the officials that I have heard from, is that it was basically the nonsense of trying to slow the game down at the end of the game. And buy extra time by throwing a flag on the field in a non-challenge situation so that you could slow the pace of the game down. They have to stop the clock.
That's part of it, but also...
That was the primary, according to the people that were in the room, that was the primary, and this was Jeff Fisher who was saying this, I guess. It was not an official, it was Jeff Fisher that I was listening to. That was the primary motivating factor for
that
specific rule.
But it was also so that
it was
a penalty by the team...
It was never intended to be punitive in a situation like this, according to Jeff Fisher.
But the rule says that if there's a penalty committed by the team that wants to challenge the call, you therefore can't challenge it. You've given yourself more time and more opportunity to look at replays for your guys up there to look
at
replays.
And that's an unfair advantage.
And that's an unfair advantage.
Absolutely.
So, but all I'm saying
is
you're the
head coach
of your football team. You're the only person who is responsible for the challenge flag. You're the only person who has the ability to toss it. You should know every single rule in the league. And if you don't, there is a problem.
Well, and he doesn't. And again, there's a couple problems with that. Steven, I don't disagree with your vehemence.
My vehemence? Because there's vehemence against the rule that everybody should know. And had he just kept his flag in his pocket, it gets reviewed and it gets changed. It gets changed. It would have been corrected.
There's other factors that go into this. Who is the guy? And this ultimately all falls on the Schwartz. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm not taking anything off the Schwartz. This all belongs to the Schwartz.
Yeah, but a lot of people want to take it off his shoulders.
Yeah, I don't. But I do want to say there's the other problems, which Coach Fisher very eloquently pointed out. Coach Fisher says, I always waited to the last possible second to throw the flag. Right. The last possible second, because I wanted as much intel as I could get.
Yes.
And I've got a guy upstairs that knows a lot more than me and is focused solely on that one thing rather than managing the game, who's advising me.
Now that I'm calm.
Yeah.
See, I can get calm.
That's good.
It's
to your credit.
For Schwartz, that's what he needed to do.
This is my point.
Don't make hot-headed decisions.
And he was very excited to throw that flag.
He was.
He was giddy to throw that flag. And it cost him dearly. And when you let your emotions rule you, bottom line, it will come back and kick you in the nuts.
There
you go. Let's transition to Ndamukong Suh in that game, shall we?
Speaking of kicking in the nuts.
I set up the segue.
I think he kicked him in the nuts.
And I think he may have. But I don't think there's any.
You may have. You've been a lot of may have lately.
No, he kicked him in the nuts.
Either he did or he didn't.
He kicked him in the nuts. Okay. It's the intentionality where I say it may have been, it may not have been. I think it's far from conclusive. And I don't think it's fair to say someone's history dictates that they probably meant
really?
To.
Really?
Really? If we're talking about I've murdered three people and I pulled out a gun and I shot at someone and missed.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't trying to kill him. No, you probably were.
Yes.
But these are on-field aggressive behaviors that we're talking about, not murder. So to say that a man who's falling face first to the ground in real speed, not in slow motion, can decide to whip his leg around.
I'm going to pretend to fall right here.
I'm
going to see if my leg whips.
Well, I'll actually stand there for you to try and kick me in the nuts. because I want to watch you fall face first, because I think it'd be funny. If I get kicked in the nuts, so be it. We'll both
be in pain.
The thing
was that his leg whipped in a way that
to you wasn't natural.
It was not natural, yes.
To me, it certainly could have been natural.
Okay.
And I'm just saying, I think decent people can disagree about that. Yeah. I don't think... The other thing with the Schwartz, look,
he
Schwartz screwed up.
He intentionally tried to kick him in the nards.
That's your opinion.
Yeah, it is my opinion.
My opinion is... I don't know that, and because I don't know that, I'm certainly not willing to do what a lot of people want, which is like suspend him for multiple games.
Yeah.
Because it's not clear, you fine him.
And that's what they're going to do.
$40,000. You find the typical fine. You don't even do the accelerator, the Ndamukong Suh accelerator that you would normally do, which is about, I think it was a half a trillion dollars now.
They didn't suspend him.
What is his accelerator now?
I don't know.
It's pretty damn high.
They are going to fine him. They didn't suspend
him. I'm fine with that, Stephen.
And that's
because,
all right.
I would base that on his history.
Yeah.
You have a criminal background.
Yeah.
And there's a house that got broken into right next to you, and you got cuts on your hands. Yeah. Okay, bro? I think you probably did it, but I can't prove it. So on circumstantial evidence, I can't throw the whole book at you, but I'll throw a page at you.
I'm going to throw some at you.
I'm going to throw a chapter of the book at you.
It was an interesting game. Yes, the thing.
So I got a text during my show.
The thing that everybody,
someone wanted to know if the play, the Schwartz throwing the flag, how much of an outcome of the game did that have? That was a text that I had to deal with.
Well, and that's where I was going with it.
That's what I figured. So I wanted to know.
We really don't know. I mean,
I didn't know how to answer that question.
It is possible. Look, they had gotten a first down there, even without the touchdown. They were clearly driving, and I still think they go on and score the touchdown.
Probably.
We don't know. We don't know if they go on to score the touchdown, but I think because of the way the game was playing out and they needed a touchdown in that situation.
And they are a better team.
that they probably go for it and get it.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
Yeah,
we'll never know. But the fact that you say, well, it cost them a touchdown and therefore it cost them a game because it never gone to overtime.
Yeah, no.
No, you can't say that either.
And that was the thing. The thing I hate about life sometimes is you get asked questions that you're just not prepared to answer.
Right.
You know? Well, for example, like about the NHL players union and who owns the right to NHL players? Do they have individual contracts or is it the NHL?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I
don't know.
Don't follow the league
that
much.
Yeah, I'm like, but you're put on the spot, and you have to find a way out of the question. Now, I could go politician and say, you know, whatever we do, it's got to be for the children and to preserve this beautiful planet that God's given us.
And peace on earth.
And peace on earth, and save the children.
Yes.
And Ronald Reagan. And then everybody goes, oh, that felt really good. No, and hardly anyone goes, damn, he didn't answer the question.
Right.
But no, you try and answer the question, and sometimes you can't.
I kind of threw Mike off guard once because I told him, I don't know that. I have to research that and come up with an information
good
for you
at
a later time.
Good for you.
He was like, huh?
I need to have a script ready for that. I need to have that line written down so there's a go-to on a post-it note.
Because
we get asked stuff.
Because I don't want to give him
bad information. We get asked stuff because we're Americans.
Right. I don't want to give him bad information.
You're an American, so you should know this. Okay, maybe I should, but I don't.
I don't generally follow hockey all that much, so
I love hockey, but I don't know how their labor works.
I didn't even see the what's the team here from LA that won the whole thing last year?
The Chivas,
the Mighty Ducks,
Chivas,
the Los Angeles Mighty Ducks, right?
Okay, I was trying to put you into a bad spot by saying Chivas. It was the LA Kings.
I know it's the Kings. Be quiet. Chivas. But there was a while where there was the Anaheim Mighty Ducks.
There still are the Anaheim Ducks.
So they're just the Ducks
They've
now.
They've lost their mighty.
Because they're not owned by Disney anymore.
And so they don't have to be that embarrassing. That's what it comes down to.
Okay.
Mighty Duck was a little embarrassing. So, Stephen, what are we going to do? Because Saturday, we've got some huge sporting events. Friday, we've got UCLA and Stanford playing up at the Farm in Palo Alto.
Yes.
And we should be
winner
there
wins the
for the
Pac-12
championship.
And goes to the
Saturday
Rose Bowl.
Saturday at Home Depot Center, we have the MLS Cup, the Houston Dynamo against the LA Galaxy.
Nice.
And we should be there.
Should we?
Yeah. Because it doesn't conflict with the NFL.
Saturday, I can't.
No.
The missus has her day of fun.
She's going to have fun.
She's going to tea.
Who the heck does she think she is?
Yeah, she listens, by the way.
No fun for you 1 year.
She's going to tea. She's been looking forward to it for
We're
a while.
We're at the Huntington?
I don't know. One of those places.
Oh, no. She's probably going to the tea room.
No, I think she's going to downtown somewhere.
Wow. Well, the tea
fancy.
Room. There's the tea room downtown.
I think it's the tea room at the Biltmore, I think.
Nice. Yes.
It is fancy.
Even nicer than the Huntington.
It is fancy, yes.
Dang. Now, friends, if you come to Pasadena and don't go to the Huntington Library, you're dumb. Yeah. Okay? One of the truly special gems, hidden gems of Southern California is the estate of Mr. Huntington. And it is just acres upon hundreds of acres of beautiful gardens and just spectacularness. And then a really cool museum inside.
Yes. You said the Huntington Library.
It is collectively known as the Huntington Library.
Okay, so it's
and they also have like one of the Guggenheim Bibles and things like that. It is a collection. Mr. Huntington was very wealthy. So he had a library. And it's still used by a lot of people come from all over the world to research some of these ancient texts. And he's got paintings that are very famous. And he's got some of my favorite artists, John Constable. He's got the Hay Wayne there, some great paintings. And then just beautiful gardens. But it's collectively known as the Huntington Library. Don't get turned off by the name because it's really cool.
34-31, the final here in overtime, Jeff, for the second consecutive week. Or for should I say the second time in the span of 5 days?
Yeah,
the Houston Texans.
I wondered played if they had enough left in the tank. Dang, how is this going to affect the next game?
Well, they've had 11 days. They get 11 days off.
That's true.
So it's
no excuses, Lucy.
No, there will be no excuses. But you know what? What troubles me about the Houston Texans is that the fact that their defense in back-to-back games has been shredded by Matthew Stafford and Chad Henne.
I read for my power rankings where they are the top silver team now.
Wow.
10-1.
Not enough to get you gold and top of the
heap. I've got 8-win teams all above in gold.
Above the Houston Texans and Atlanta Falcons. That's why I just let Atlanta do it now. I can't even look.
You get emotional about my emotional power rankings.
See, because you use emotion.
I do use emotion. That's the beauty of my power rankings. This is how I feel. And it's what I think.
Right.
But I take my heart and my mind, and I just force them to do battle, and I come up with this. But I wrote this about Houston. Despite record, still not impressing like a 10-win team should. Is that correct?
Go on the road.
Is that correct?
Short week, and you come out with a win. That is impressive to me.
It takes a lot to impress you. I always say that a road win is an important win. A road win is a win, period, because they're the hardest to get.
Yeah. Ask the Seattle Seahawks, who couldn't take care of business in Miami.
Now.
I think it was the sprinklers that spooked them.
I know.
We'll get into that.
I wrote that in my power rankings are good. Okay. Must reading. They're not up yet because Elena's not home from school to do them. But by the time hopefully this gets posted, they will be up. But this is my best power rankings.
Which you
just because
$4,
I have nearly half the team in Mossy Green, half the league in Mossy Green.
Yeah,
that's how I feel right now.
Half the league in Mossy Green. That's your emotions running a little away with you.
I don't trust any of these teams to win another game.
Okay.
So what color should they be if I don't trust them to win another game? St. Louis Rams? Sure. You could win another game maybe. Bengals? Steelers? Redskins? Bucks, Vikings, sure. Everyone below that, no! No! You are hugely disappointing to your fans. And there's another thing. Basically, fans of these teams that are Mossy Green are generally mad as hell.
Okay.
Mad as hell. But I think that's how I make Mossy Green. What fans are pissed off right now?
Yeah.
And look, gold... The gold teams I love. San Francisco, Denver, New England. Those are my top three. And they're all 8-win teams. But they are the elite right now.
Who's gold again?
San Francisco, Denver, New England.
San Francisco, Denver, New England. So you have San Francisco still...
top of the table,
top
baby.
Top of the table.
Top
with
of the
their
charts.
And one. With their
and
tie.
One. 8-2 yeah. and one. Which I'm grateful for because it makes them stronger.
Well, yeah, but it's odd how a 10-1 team can go on the road, go back-to-back overtime games, get a victory, and that's not impressive. But a team that at home gets an and-1 against a team that's not doesn't have a winning record,
but
and that's
not
impressive
Mossy
enough
Green.
To
they're
get
the,
up the...
They're 19th. They're almost Mossy Green. Because yeah. they're the Rams, dude. They're playing with a full complement of players...
And that's why they're yours, and I have no input. So you could do whatever you want with your rankings.
All right.
Let's move on to the Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys. For the second time in a row, the Cowboys are pretty inept in the first half.
Yeah, invisible almost.
28-3. The week before, it was 13-0. Rob Ryan, I don't know what you're playing at with the defense. Now, look, when you don't have your starting nose tackle, Jay Ratliff, you don't have your star linebacker, Sean Lee, he's out for the rest of the season, and then you lose the guy who's backing him up, Bruce Carter, yeah, that's not good.
Can they clone DeMarcus Ware?
They can't clone DeMarcus Ware.
That would be helpful.
You have your starting safety, Barry Church, who's out for the season, so you have to rely on Danny McCray, and he's not playing good, solid football at safety position. Your strength right now are your cornerbacks with Jenkins, rookie Claiborne, and Brandon Carr, and yet you are forcing these guys to play in a zone that, because the other guys around them are substitutes.
Zones are only effective if everybody
your zone
is on the same
is
page.
Getting chewed up.
Is that not a fair
yes,
assessment?
Yes, that's right.
Think about the Eagles game last night, because it'll be most recent to most of us. The Eagles game last night on that just breakaway play where you had the safety over the top that just decided to crash in and help a corner who's a shutdown corner, and you vacated the middle of the field. If I'm Cam Newton and I look up and I see empty middle of the field.
Oh, he had a big grin. He had the Cam Newton grin on when he threw the ball.
You kidding me? That's the point. When everybody's so banged up that they're playing out of position, you need skilled players to play a zone. Otherwise, you should play man.
Yeah, that's right. You need to get out of that zone.
Yes.
Let your top corners shut down the receivers.
Make them play press coverage. Make them chip them off the line.
And you know what? And make the and blitz. Apply pressure to the quarterback so that he has to throw the ball quicker.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Whedon and Robert Griffin III had all day back in the backfield to get rid of the football. And look, I'm sorry. I know I haven't played quarterback in an extremely long time, but if you give me that kind of time and that kind of protection,
Steven, I know you'll find guys.
We'll find the open guy
I know you will.
In the zone.
I know.
So
that's actually true.
It's pretty bad that the Cowboys don't show up. And that's coaching, Jeff. When for the last two games, you're at home and you come out flat, and against the Browns don't score any points, and against the Redskins only score three in the first half, and you go down, and then you're in the half, and then you come out in the second half, and you look like an entirely different football team.
It's called a home field disadvantage there.
It's like you were not ready to play at the beginning of the game.
Correct.
You got down, and so now you feel the pressure, and so now you come out in the second half and you play lights out.
When I see Romo run some of these balls and decide to keep them because he has no other options and his offensive line is a shambles, I see a look on his face of, are you effing kidding me?
Yeah.
That's the look I see on Tony's face, I really have to do all this myself?
He has shown the are you effing kidding me look a couple times this season.
Well, and then I like this. I think it was Al Michaels who said that Tony Romo leads the league in telling his receivers where they're supposed to be pre-snap,
yes,
and then telling his receivers after the play where they should have been.
What they should have done. Yeah. I did catch that. But you know what? You have your third string center. You have a second string left tackle, second string guard, right guard. That's three key positions on the line that you don't have your starters.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure anybody's going to do well behind an offensive line like that.
Agreed.
38-31, Robert Griffin III. You got to give it up to the kid.
Kid rocks.
Second consecutive game, RG3 throws four touchdown passes. That's the first rookie in the NFL to throw back-to-back four touchdown pass games.
He was just – he's crazy good. And if we now have a sample size of 11 games to look at. And, yeah, he went through a little swoon. But you know what? Rookies will do that. The fact is, he's pulled out of the swoon, and I'm very excited to see who the Redskins got next
year. I know. Oh, my God. So, wait a minute. The Giants, are you trying to tell me that I have to cheer for the Redskins to beat the Giants? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Is that what's up next?
I can't do that. I can't.
Is that what's up next?
Yes, that's what's up next. They got the Giants next in Washington.
Now, I must say that the Giants we're seeing right now could beat anyone. They could have beaten themselves in the Super Bowl last year. These guys are so good.
It's
but we'll see. Was it a one-hit wonder? We don't know. But that bye week seems to have served them well. What? Oh, I wrote something else really nice about the Giants. Apparently, a week of rest was enough for sleeping Giants.
There you go.
Yeah.
Look at that. Sleeping Giants.
And they beaten down the Packers like that with the Redskins on Monday Night Football. Dude, I got that game next week.
The final game in the tussle.
I'm pretty stoked about
the New England Patriots 49 embarrassed the Jets 19, a game that saw Fireman Ed leave before halftime.
I covered that last night. He quit.
Decide that he is done, but not because of the team.
No.
Because of the situation in the stadium from the other fans.
That's when you know your fans need to grow up a little bit.
Yes,
when you take a retired New York City firefighter and break his spirit,
yes,
you've done a bad thing, New York. You've done a bad thing. People can say, oh, but he's a clown. I don't really have to respect the clown. Well, no, you don't have to, but what does it hurt to help an old man who's really helped the team a lot?
Right.
And has done an awful lot, and he's poured himself into every game. And, yeah, he's a mascot, which makes him kind of a clown. But you know what? Most teams really appreciate their mascots. They don't encourage them to quit by treating them so crappy every time they go to get a beer, go to the bathroom, or just walk around the stadium. He chose to wear a Mark Sanchez jersey this year and changed just to try and do what he could to support.
Yeah, but Jeffrey,
he broke a poor old man's heart, and you guys pissed me off.
The
this
Mark
team
Sanchez
is horrible.
Butt slide fumble.
It was classic. It was priceless. And it wasn't a butt slide fumble. It was a botched handoff butt slide fumble. Yeah. It was the essence.
The running back didn't go where he was supposed to.
It was the essence of this New York Jets season.
Sanchez didn't have anyone left to hand the ball, just so he decided
to
run.
To keep it. But right in front of him, as he slipped,
runs right into the back of Brandon Moore. Hits Moore's butt. He slides, he drops the ball, it gets picked up, it goes, the Patriots score a touchdown.
The first of 21.
Then on the ensuing kickoff, the very next play, Joe McKnight fumbles right into the hands of Julian Edelman, who takes it in for a touchdown.
And then.
And the score went from 14-0 to 28-0.
Yes, like that.
And the game was over at that point. Yep. Literally, it's the first quarter, and I'm Jeffrey, it's 0-0. I'm like, man, what a boring game. Now, I had kind of sneak peeked.
I know.
So I knew the score. So I'm like, it's the end of the first quarter, and it's 0-0. I'm like, I really got to see what happens in the second quarter because I knew the score.
Yes.
I knew it was 28-0. And the way it became 28-0 was short of being
21 farce. Points were scored in 55 seconds.
Something like that. They scored a touchdown. Two plays later, the Jets had the butt slide fumble for a touchdown.
and then
on the very soon kickoff touchdown, less than 60 seconds.
55 seconds, 21 points.
21 points.
And so it was hysterical. Steven's at my house for Thanksgiving, and he had his writing to do for the Dallas Cowboys for the Bleacher Report blog. And he's writing their stuff, and so he doesn't want to be bothered. We wanted to have dinner and everything and enjoy dinner. So I was about an hour behind the game.
Yeah.
And he and Jordan somehow had gotten the hold of the score and so knew that it was 28-0 and teleconnected with me and told me that it was kind of a dull game. And it was very flop-sided. Flop-sided. That's one-sided.
Flopsy.
And where does flop come from? It was a flop.
It was a flop.
It was a flop, and it was one-sided. It was flop-sided. I like it.
It was flop-sided.
And so I was sitting there, and I'm watching this really dramatic game, 0-0. I don't understand why the guys are communicating with me telekinetically that this is a flop-sided game. And you come in and you say 0-0. I'm like, dude, you know the score, so why are you being so insulting to me? I was a little annoyed. Well, plus I was sitting in a really uncomfortable chair because my mom sitting in the best chair of the house reading a freaking book.
Why you gotta take it out on me, man?
Was that directed at you? Didn't sound like it was. It was directed at my mom.
You said the score was 0-0, and I was a little annoyed. Rah,
rah. I said it was probably because I was sitting in a really uncomfortable chair.
I.
You moved her. You moved the beast.
I tried to give it to you, Patty.
Get up.
I said, Patty,
you don't deserve that chair.
You are in the best football watching seat, and you're not watching the game. You're reading your Kindle. Would it be okay if you moved to the couch?
Oh, sure, Steven.
She moved.
And I'm still sitting in the most uncomfortable chair.
Well, because I offered it to you, and you said, no, I don't want it.
Well, I... I think your daughter might have been in the other big chair. Might have been Jordan at that point.
No, it was Jordan in the other big
chair. But somebody, there was a lot of kids sitting where they weren't sitting. That includes mine. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids sitting where they weren't sitting on Thanksgiving. Little turded about that because, you know, it's small house. Small house. You got to. Everyone has a place and everything has a place. So Steven comes over, and next thing you know, 28 points. Yes, like that. The beginning of a landslide. The Jets go down in flames by 30 points. Bill Belichick is who he is. Kept everybody out there till virtually the end of the game.
Yeah.
Scoring points and having a partay and didn't learn his lesson from Gronk. Who got hurt in this game? Edelman? Or Welker, somebody got hurt at the end of this game, a little dinged up.
I think
they're going to be fine, but it was like Edelman, it was a blow up.
Edelman was out there late, but he's going to be okay.
I know. It's just, you know what? You get what you get. If you're going to play that style of football, you're rolling the dice.
That's what he's going to do.
And you know what? He's done it for years, so I don't know why anyone criticizes him.
You shouldn't anymore.
You don't hear me, Chris. I'm just saying you get what you get.
If he didn't listen to the criticisms early,
he's certainly not now.
He's not going to now.
That he's winning huge.
So Thanksgiving was over, and then it started the El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. Double bells.
That's what it should have been. That's what it should have been.
Sucker of a
game. Green Bay Packers. Where's my dollar here? $1 that Eli Manning wouldn't score a touchdown?
You get $2, actually.
That Eli Manning wouldn't score a touchdown?
And now all my dollars are gone.
All your dollars are gone.
That Eli Manning would not throw a touchdown pass.
Yeah, he threw three.
And then the next dollar was that he would throw one to Victor Cruz, and I'm very sad. Victor Cruz caught three freaking passes, and one of them was a short little five-yard touchdown pass. I was like,
he's still
going to
do his dance. My mom, of course, was like, I didn't know he does that little dance. Like, yes, Mom.
Yeah, I'm still very annoyed at NBC playing the salsa music. Yeah. That is pretty annoying.
Yep.
If you're going to do that for him, you have to have a freaking song for everybody who's going to score on Sunday Night Football.
Just giving the people what they want from their point of view.
Yeah. It's not what I want.
Well, giving the people what they want. It's all about the ratings, Steven.
Yeah.
They're ratings whores, and you are not.
It is annoying. 38-10, the final score.
Anything
the Green Bay Packers looked like they were going to dominate after they scored on their first possession a huge bomb to Jordy Nelson.
It looked like old times. Jordy Nelson from Aaron Rodgers. Just, such a beautiful deep ball. But that was pretty much it.
That was all. That was all she wrote.
And you know what's so stunning about this is that I believe that the New York Giants have gone and exposed some glaring weaknesses on the Green Bay Packers team. That it's going to be, if you can apply pressure to the middle, and Aaron Rodgers now, by the way, leads the league in hits. Pat Kerwin has counted them all, and he is up to 146 hits he's taken this year. So
he got sacked five times.
So these are combined sacks, knockdowns, and hits while running the ball.
Yeah.
So the play's broken, your offensive line's not there, and you're getting smacked. 146 times he's gone under because of a defender hitting him.
That's huge.
That is a number that is scary and really could shorten your season. And so think about it, guys. They've got to do a better job. That offensive line
Rodgers
is doing a horrid job.
He fumbled once on a hit. And it's like, you know what? I don't know how the Packers win football games.
I don't either.
If their offensive
He's
line
that good.
Does not.
It's kind of like the Bears, Steven. I mean, you take away the quarterback and the team's abysmal. And the quarterback seems to be able to cover up for a lot of these mistakes until you play an excellent defense, which the New York Giants, look, their front seven, I think, is amongst the best in football.
That's good.
And you got Pierre Paul in them bringing unbelievable pressure, ridiculous pressure. It's second only to maybe the 49ers as far as guys that just come after you and want to slap you silly and generally do.
38-10, the final there.
See, what are you going to do without your dollars? I mean, this is my lunch right today.
Yeah, I have no more dollars.
I got like $6
Congratulations.
Here. I'm going to Panda. One of them's torn, but, you know.
You can have the dollars, but I'll take this.
I am the smartest man alive!
Games of importance!
Let's start off with that, shall we? The smartest man alive. What the heck made me take the Vikings?
Yeah, I'm still trying to wonder.
Well, first of all, again, I don't think I knew that Jay Cutler was going to be back.
Okay.
So if Jay Cutler's not back, I believe the Vikings still win this game.
On the show, I was pretty adamant in telling you that Cutler said that he was going to play.
I don't care what players say that. It's like when
and that the Bears, and it was confirmed by the Bears, who said that Jay Cutler is most likely going to be back on the field. He's been practicing.
And I also, I thought, and I do remember saying this on the show, was I didn't expect him to finish the game.
Ah, yes.
Because your offensive line sucks out loud. But you know what? They did a much better job of protecting him. I got to take my hat off to the Bears' offensive line. They have taken more seriously their job of protecting their quarterback.
My belief was that the Minnesota Vikings would be okay. They would have a huge day from Adrian Peterson, which he rushed for over 100 yards on like 18 carries, which is pretty impressive. But that Christian Ponder still struggles on the road. He plays pretty good at home, but when he's on the road, he's not the same guy. He only passed for 159 yards on 43 pass attempts. That was pretty huge, and he threw a pick. And, you know, when the Bears, once again, they go to show when they, you know, recovered a fumble early, got an interception, when they give Jay Cutler short fields, when the defense gets the turnovers, the Bears are great.
How good is this not interesting person? Devin Hester went down.
Yep.
Matt Forte went down.
Yep.
Charles Tillman goes down.
Yep.
It's like, dude, who are you playing with? You are running a bunch of scabs out there, and you're still making it work.
They made it work.
I don't. It pains me on a small level to say that Jay Cutler is terrific as a football player, but he is. That's all there is to it.
20?
He's a terrific football player. Capable of egregious mistakes and laughably bad sometimes.
The score,
but more often than not, a very good quarterback.
It was 25-3 at the half. I think like only the second time in NFL history that is the halftime score, because 25, the Bears got the 2-point conversion, because the Vikings apparently, when the Bears lined up for the extra point, the Vikings, like, they flooded one side and only had, like, two guys on the other side. And
okay.
So the kicker was like, okay. And so
okay.
They ran
pitch
it into a two-point conversion. And so anyways, the final 28-10, the Chicago Bears over the Vikings. The Vikings have to figure out a way to play better football on the road.
That's just like the Seahawks.
Oh, my gosh. The Seahawks. Well, let's go then to the Cincinnati Bengals. Hosting Carson Palmer and the Oakland Raiders.
The comeback of Carson Palmer. Arg. He's going to show you why you should have given him all the money. No, he's going to show you why you're better off with Andy Doolin Dalton. And Marvin Lewis is going to laugh at your butt and go, yep, I don't regret seeing you go one iota.
Well, the fact is that this game was never close. It was 24-0 at half.
Never.
24-0 at half.
Do the math, friends. That means you got four scores you got to come back from. Four. And
Ben Jarvis.
And you're
Greenellis,
the Raiders, by the way.
The law firm decided, I'm going to show up today, rash for
129 yards.
And a touchdown. Against
19 carries.
The Raiders defense. I'm just telling you now, fantasy football owners, fantasy football players, if you've got a running back going against the Raiders,
start
do not bench him.
You
the
must.
Raiders are the
this
most.
This is a new fantasy football rule.
Porous defense against the run. They can't stop anyone.
Andy Dalton still
Carson
tosses
Palmer
three touchdowns.
Carson Palmer had a tough time, sacked four times, threw an interception, only completed 19 of 34 passes. For a .146, not the homecoming he was expecting. And the final score, Cincinnati 34.
At the end of this game,
Oakland 10.
Carson Palmer, his passing shoulder is bruised on the back.
Bruised!
Red scraped on the middle of his back. Pretty much summed up his homecoming. It was disgusting. And you know what? It was.
Oh, by the way, I didn't have to talk you out of this pick. You automatically took the Bengals.
You're saying that I deserved this win?
Because
I knew that the Bengals that were in the playoffs last year would beat the crap out of the Oakland. I was worried about Palmer coming back.
You
for
struggled
a
little bit because of that, and because you said the Raiders do well on the road. They play a lot better
on
the road
better,
than they do. Yeah.
But
they do, and,
that doesn't mean they're good, because they're not. They're 3-8.
The Buffalo Bills travel to Indianapolis, and they find out all about Chuck Strong.
Chuck Strong.
Two very attractive cheerleaders.
One was stunning. Even bald.
Yes,
she
even
was
bald.
Stunning.
They shaved their heads a la Charlie Miller.
Well,
a
she
fan
did it for a different
show.
Reason.
She did do it for a different
just
reason.
Just want to be clear. Yes. She's not Chuck Strong. Yeah, she's in not. For other
well,
charitable
causes. Well,
but
she is
causes.
Chuck Strong.
Oh, she's Chuck Strong.
She is Chuck yeah,
but
Chaz
she
Chuck
didn't
Strong.
Do it for that reason.
No, she didn't. She did it for another cause.
So after
but
the players shaved their heads yes. to support Coach, the cheerleaders
they
are like,
said
what can we do?
They would shave their heads if they raised $10,000. They raised well over $22,000.
Yeah, like they raised
$20,000. And they shaved their head. Chuck Pagano was there, which
I know.
Is pretty
that's
cool.
That's so sweet.
And anyways, the Indianapolis Colts showed Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Buffalo Bills why they are the Buffalo Bills and beat them 20-13.
So I've got the Twitter guy in my head, the billionaire tweeter.
Jim
Irsay.
Yes.
And I got Chuck Pagano. I think that image will forever be in my mind. Chuck Pagano up in the owner's box.
Yes.
Of that Irsay. Game, and Irsay standing there with his arm around Pagano, and it was very, very sweet moment. Andrew Luck continues to be just lights out. Just making Indianapolis confident that they made the right choice. It's not that Robert Griffin, it's not taking one thing away from Robert Griffin. It is that who are you as a team? How close are you to being ready to run a conventional offense versus what Robert has to do there in Washington?
Well, I mean, yeah, but
they're just totally different styles of quarterback play, and Andrew is more of the conventional type of quarterback, and it's pretty dang cool to watch that too. A lot of fun.
They did get some help here. They did have a punt return for 75 yards, return for a touchdown by T.Y. Hilton. The Colts offense wasn't spectacular per se. But that when they needed the touchdown in the third quarter, they got it done, giving them a 20-6 lead.
My favorite stat of this game, Reggie Wayne breaking Chris Carter's NFL record for consecutive games with multiple catches. It's one thing to catch a ball a game.
Yeah.
It's another thing to catch more than one. That's a huge difference, okay? Yes. Huge difference. And it now stands, the new record is 59 games in a row with multiple catches.
Wayne had 8 catches for 102 yards in the game. And I don't know what's going on with the Buffalo Bills. They were able to run the ball pretty good. C.J. Spiller had 107 yards rushing on 14 carries. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't know, ever since he got the big fat contract. But
they
got nobody there to turn to. So there is no quarterback controversy in Buffalo.
C.J. Spiller was terrific.
He had 107 yards.
But it's been 12 years since this team has made the playoffs, Steven. And it was kind of sweet to read Greg's post on Facebook, which is, you know, you're a true Buffalo Bills fan when the day after the loss, you find yourself with your favorite Bills coffee mug.
Yes.
And you still like it.
He is a great fan.
Yeah, but and that's, you know it sucks.
I'm a Cowboys fan, and I want to give him a hug.
And it's been longer for you.
It's been bad. Well, no, we've
You went to the playoffs, but you haven't won a game.
They beat the Philadelphia Eagles in the playoffs a couple years ago.
Oh, that's right. Yes. They beat them 2 weeks in a row. That was fun.
That was fun. All right.
The
Buffalo Bills, are we sticking a fork in the Bills now?
Well, D-U-N is the case. If you ran the table, you'd be 9-7.
That's not in the AFC.
Okay.
Sticking a fork in the Bills. Sorry, Greg. You know, because we need to stick forks in things since Thanksgiving. So
I'm hungry right now.
That turkey was so good.
It was.
Dude. This is the first Thanksgiving in probably a decade, in about 10 years, where I have overstuffed myself. Where, like, at the end, was just like, I can't. Like, Trisha was like, do you want dessert? No. Okay, give me ice cream.
That was the other thing that hurt my feelings. Nobody asked if I wanted dessert. Every single person got asked if they wanted dessert.
But brought dessert, didn't you?
No, actually.
You didn't?
I didn't get asked for coffee. Everybody was being attended to. And I sit here in this uncomfortable chair. I got my feelings hurt a little bit.
I did. You need a hug, dude.
It was weird. It was a lovely day. The food was fantastic. The turkey, you could thank me for the turkey because I told the girls to pull it out and it wasn't finished. However, the white meat was. So they separated the white meat, put the rest of it back in the oven, and they cooked it in two separate things. And therefore, the white meat was lusciously moist.
It was.
Lusciously moist.
I, too.
Steve, that's where all the turkey went. There's no turkey left over. No turkey pot pie. No turkey concardi. No turkey magistrate. No turkey went from Christmas story.
You're moving on to Christmas story.
Christmas story. That was just such a great line. No turkey concardi.
Yeah. I had, I guess, did we get the turkey?
I had a lot of turkey. No, there wasn't much. much.
Because we had
we pounded it, dude.
Yeah, but
I had about six bread slices about that big.
Trisha gave me like a little baby
turkey sandwich
the next day for lunch.
That's it.
It's like, she's like, there wasn't much turkey left. There wasn't. I'm like, I want turkey with the moist maker, like Ross.
Yeah.
But there was none to be had.
There wasn't.
Anyways, we're sticking a fork in the Bills. The Atlanta Falcons at 9-1 travel to Tampa Bay to face the Buccaneers.
The Falcons have
proven 10-1. Are they up there in the gold?
No.
Oh, my God. So you got silver. Two 10-1 teams. A team that you have in the Super Bowl, a team that I have in the Super Bowl, they're both 10-1, yet you refuse.
Because
of how they're winning football games.
Far from playing to ability. Far from playing to ability, and it's going to catch up with them.
Once
record
again,
cannot be denied.
You took the Bucs in this, so you obviously think the Bucs are a really good football team.
I think this team at home
to go to Tampa Bay, a division rival, and sneak out of there with a win. Yeah, I say sneak is impressive.
They snuck.
Because it's a division rival. It's on the road. The Bucs threw everything they had.
That's probably
the
hottest team in football.
And they still were able to beat
them. And they absorbed the blows. And how did they do it? Scoring every single quarter.
Nice.
And that is another one of my signs of a great team. Is that you are consistent in your scoring. You don't take a quarter off. You play four quarters hard. Right. I am maybe being unfair to Atlanta because, Steven, I've got them in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I may be a little too hard on
them. You want them to be more.
I do, actually. Well, and its bottom line is, look,
Atlanta,
can you beat New England right now? I don't think so today. Can you beat Denver right now today? I don't think so.
But they
already
did.
Can you beat the 49ers right now today? No, I don't think so today.
Yeah.
That's my concern. You guys are fantastic. You're sexy good. But you are not playing as well as you're capable of. And that's hence the power rankings.
They're 10-1.
Interesting. I've got Atlanta at five and Baltimore at six. And that's my Super Bowl.
And where's Houston?
Houston is at four. That's your Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So our Super Bowl teams are silver, sexy silver.
Sexy.
But not gold yet. And I think come the end of the season, they can be there, and they should be there. But San Francisco, look, they're doing everything they can to try and screw it up. Denver's just getting crazy good, as is New England. You can't deny what I'm saying.
I might deny it. Yeah. Denver struggled
against
Kansas City.
It's a snapshot of today. Trust me. Somebody wanted to know that, too. I got a text last night on the show that said, how is it that Denver struggled to beat Kansas City? I'm like, well, first of all, it's really tough to win in Kansas City.
It is, although they lost the last eight.
Although they managed to do it so frequently.
Yes,
that
now.
Yes, now. However,
I think they've lost the last eight in a row.
Seven or eight in a row. Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. And Denver got off out of the gate very slowly. They were losing.
It was 6-0. Trisha was like, what's going on with Denver? I'm like,
I don't know, but it's
Peyton
Manning.
You know what? Kansas City scored
it.
Two field goals. You know what all they do? Score field goals.
There's a reason they're 1-9.
They've scored touchdowns in three games, I think. Three straight games.
They're winless at home this season.
Well, there you go.
That tells you all you need to know.
Oh, and by the way, I gave them 2 points more per game. They're down to 14 points per game. I said 16. They owe me 2 freaking points.
They give them to you, but they don't got them. They're too bad. Really bad, but that's not even what we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. the Falcons sneak out a win, 24-23.
You acknowledge the Tampa Bay's pretty damn good.
They are. It's very interesting now because I was having a conversation with Ed Franks via Facebook. We were IMing, and he's like, basically his first IM that came through was like, thanks for nothing, freaking Green Bay, because he's a Redskins fan. I'm a Cowboy fan.
Right.
We needed the Packers to beat the Giants. So he's like, thanks for nothing.
He's not grateful that his team beat your team?
Yeah.
That should be Thanksgiving enough, okay?
I know. So anyway, so we start talking. I'm like, well, yeah, now I'm like, yeah, but the Giants, they still got the Ravens. They still got, the Saints. They still got the Falcons. You know, there's like three games right there that if those three teams, they play up to the potential, they could be the Giants and we could be in the driver's seat. And he's like, yeah, but then we got to play each other at the end. And we're like, yeah. He's like, but you know what? the wild card now is in play. Tampa Bay lost. Minnesota lost.
Everybody who needed to win exactly. lost.
He starts naming off all the teams that are
nobody
in the mix.
Nobody did what they needed to do. Nobody.
And so I'm like, ooh, you got a point. There's wild
it's
card
not
potential
over
now.
For,
it isn't over till it's over.
It's not over.
It's
however,
not over.
As I have continued to say, the division
yeah,
leaders
but you
will
made
not,
my team mossy green.
I so did. It, they're the, but they're the over. Best.
I hope they show you. I hope they show you.
I hope they show me, Steven. I always say the NFL is better when the Cowboys are relevant.
Okay.
I say that all the time, and I mean it. I are you pulling out I coin now a, because you're new, out of dollars?
I got a new quarter.
2012?
What state is this?
Let me see. I've got better glasses
sorry,
than you.
It's Kansas.
When are you getting your eyes checked?
I have to go this week.
People, write your write
so
write Steven Moran and tell him to get his eyes
80
checked.
80 cents. I don't even have a dollar on me. I want to make a bet. Oh, that's not till the next
that's
show.
That's not till the next right, show, sorry. Which is in 2 days, not tomorrow. Yes. So my picks will rock. This handicapping nonsense.
24-23.
Final one, final 49ers at Saints for the games of impotence. And the
importance.
49ers did kind of what we thought they would do, which
yeah,
is go in and
but,
beat the crap out of the Saints. Because, look, any team that gives up 468 yards a game, they did a great job because
well,
they
did,
held them
they
under
did,
400.
They did. So their average has come down to 450.
Hey, look, what you did is you took a team that's not offensively explosive
right.
and you held them to 31 points.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Well, but 14 of those came on the defense. Remember, there were two interception
that don't
returns.
Count. That was
there
on were, defense. Yes, it counts
well,
the
it
same.
It does count the same.
It counts the
but
same.
But still, it was 14 points that came on the
wow.
defensive side of the ball.
That was
two Drew Brees. Remember,
that's the difference maker in
remember,
the game.
They're winning 14-7.
Yeah.
The Saints.
Yeah.
They have this game in control. They're going to go into halftime 14-7. Not bad against San Francisco.
No.
And then everybody's going to start asking,
oh,
why
Alex
did
Smith
he went
should have been in there.
Can't
and
believe
then the all way of a sudden,
Drew Brees throws a lazy pass across the field. It gets picked off not by Patrick Willis,
no.
but by Ahmad Brooks, the other linebacker. And
yeah.
takes it to the house. And now it's 14-14 at the half. And you're like, oh, this
Smith, Brooks, and Willis. Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Which one of them
Alden
do you want
Smith.
To kill you? Which of them do you want to kill you?
Yeah,
I'd like to stay alive, actually.
They have Eldon Smith and Patrick Willis at linebacker. Oh, and don't forget Ahmad Brooks.
And don't forget Justin Smith. Okay.
Lineman.
Okay, it's like
yeah, that defense is pretty fierce. 31-21. They got after. Drew
poor
Brees,
Drew Brees.
A lot
oh my God! Sacked
game.
Five times. I'm just talking off the top of my head. If I'm wrong, correct me.
Okay.
But honestly, it was crazy. The pressure that was on Drew Brees. He didn't stand a chance in this game, and he looks so much like he's trying to force the ball to my boyfriend Jimmy Graham, and he's got to stop that.
Yeah.
You got to Drew. You just because nobody else is open doesn't mean you got to throw the ball to
he
Jimmy
was
Graham.
Sacked five times, by the way. But the
get
deal
that
Graham,
running game.
Graham
where's
Graham had
gone?
Four. Yeah, well,
where the hell is Sproles gone?
He had seven catches for 65 yards. He was just bottled up. He'd catch the ball and boom, they hit him. The fact that he got 65 yards on those seven catches.
If you're playing PPR fantasy football. Enjoy Jared Sproles.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It's good,
but you're not getting a yak, baby, and you ain't getting any touchdowns because
the two INTs by Brees though really kind of hurt the Saints, put them in a hole because it was 14-14 coming out of the half. Then after a little touchdown by Frank Gore, and then another interception return for a touchdown. It's 28-14. Now you're struggling. Now it's the fourth quarter.
Now you're getting catnipped.
Yes.
Cap nicked. Now Jeff has made up a new verb.
You're cap nicked.
Cap nicked.
But he may not even be the starter. Yeah, I know he's not a backup. Thanks, Harbaugh, for clearing that up. But he's not your starter. Either he's your starter or
it's
he's
time
your
for the
backup.
Press conference.
Okay.
I'm Jim Harbaugh right. and you're the reporter.
Coach, who's starting for you against the Rams this week?
Yeah, I'm going to take some time to make that decision. I'm going to look at some film and do some of the scheming. Right now, it's a little early to be declaring who our starter will
so
be.
So is Alex Smith still the starter of this football team?
Alex Smith is absolutely still the starter of this football team.
But what about Kaepernick?
Colin Kaepernick, I mean, what I can say for certain is that he's not the backup.
So if he's not a backup, what is he then?
You know, I've got some film that I've got to look at, and we're going to do our best to game plan. You know, I don't really want to tip my hand and give Coach, Mike Smith any more of an advantage than he could have. We're going to go into a hostile environment there in Atlanta. Two tough games on the road.
You're going to the Rams, Coach.
So I thought they had Atlanta this week.
No, they got the Rams this week.
Oh, you know, we got a tough opponent in Jeff Fisher, and that Rams team's really going to come after us hard, give us our best. We got to remember that's that tie that we had was against them, that ad one, and that's stuck in my craw, and I really can't focus beyond that.
They're at St. Louis.
You just let the press conference die like that, did you?
I did let it die because I...
That's what you got.
Because
Coach, what you got.
Is not giving me what
Coach
I need.
Coach ain't giving you jack.
Yeah.
In fact, he's contradicting himself.
What I would want to tell Coach, if I could, and I had the cojones, like, you're playing with fire, sir. That's what you're doing. You've got Alex Smith already on the sideline, not looking too thrilled to be there. And you got Kaepernick, who I'm going to say it like it is. He got lucky to beat the Saints. Your defense helped you beat the Saints. He didn't beat the Saints.
The margin of victory was 10. The defense got how many points?
14.
Okay, that's a plus 4?
Yeah.
That go to the Saints?
Yes.
So you didn't win with your offense.
No, you did not. Your offense did not perform up to the level that they played against the Bears the week before. Yeah, you were at home. The Bears had nobody really playing for them on offense, and they gave you short fields, and so he looked great.
Was Kaepernick sick exciting, though, against New Orleans?
He did have some exciting plays.
That's the thing. His ability to make an explosive play blows Alex Smith out of the water. His ability to make the explosive play.
Yeah.
That is the biggest thing. That is the only knock you can make on Alex Smith.
Right.
The risk of an explosive play with Alex Smith on the field is small.
Right.
The risk of one is huge.
Didn't Harbaugh say Alex Smith hasn't done anything to lose his starting quarterback
job? Yes, and that's absolutely correct. He's failed to do, though, even though he hasn't done anything to lose it, what he did do, he did not put up the explosive plays. And that is something apparently that Jim Harbaugh thinks is sexy cool, and I don't disagree that it's sexy cool, but it is about winning.
They're 8-2-1 right now, right?
Yeah.
They go to St. Louis to play the Rams.
Then Atlanta?
And then they don't play Atlanta.
They don't play Atlanta? Anymore. I got in my brain that they had a really, really tough game.
They go, it's against New England. They go to New England.
Oh, I want to be there!
So look. So they've got
Tim. So Annie's living at Boston College right now. We stay in her dorm with some of the guys.
They got the Rams, and then they host the Dolphins. Let's say they're 10-2-1 because they're going to win those two games.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They're going to be 10-2-1. Then they go to New England, and then they go to Seattle. Let's say they split those.
The game against Seattle is going to matter.
Let's say they go 1-1.
The game against Seattle, they're not going to have to win, but it's going to be Seattle's chance to win the wild card.
Yes.
Let's say they
go 1-1 in that.
Yeah.
So they're now 11-3-1.
Yeah.
And then they end the season against the Cardinals. They're winning that one because at home. They're beating the Cardinals. I'm sorry. Everybody.
The Cardinals, just to be helpful, don't bother. Okay?
Just don't even show up.
I wouldn't.
Just call the league and say, we've already packed our U-Hauls.
You know,
we're going home from here.
Get some guys that played, you know, arena football. And, you know, there's got to be some guys out there that know how.
So the 49ers are staring. They're staring at 12-3-1 in the face. And that's going to get them the number two seed at the minimum, the number two seed. Maybe good enough for the number one seed.
Yeah. You guys are fantastic.
So everybody who said last year that the Niners, it was a fluky season, it was Harbaugh's first year.
Well, and the Harbaugh thing will wear off. Now, remember,
no.
Rex Ryan, the Jets, did this 2 years in a row.
They did.
Year three is where the wheels came off, and they came flying off. So, Jim Harbaugh, you got to show me it not this year.
Next
you got to show
year.
Me next year.
He's like, come on, you're too hard to impress, Jeff Ellis. That's what
Jeff
he's saying
Ellis
right
is
now.
Looking for greatness, so you are right.
Okay.
Greatness, not good.
So there you go. The final score, 31-21. The Niners take care of the Saints. Games of interest. We got to move it along, Jeff. Got to move it along.
Picking up the pace.
Steelers and Browns.
This is what
now,
it looks like when we pick up the pace.
I'm going to give you, since I'm going to take props for giving you.
I got the
you,
bridge that comes next
okay,
for my song.
I don't know what it is.
The bridge to my song?
Yes, what is it?
Well, we're picking up the pace.
It's picking
not.
Up the pace.
But we're not. We're slowing it down.
See,
it's a little joke there. Well, cheese day.
Steelers at Browns, if I'm going to take credit for, you know, moving you away from the Lions to the Texans and moving you away I got to be a little sorry here because I took you away from the Browns.
I really like the Browns.
Look, I did not anticipate 8 freaking turnovers.
Whoo!
3 interceptions.
How does a team?
5 fumbles.
How does a team that gets 8 turnovers manage to win by 6 points?
It was
they
close.
Give you 8 extra possessions. 8 extra possessions that weren't yours.
Yes.
And you win by 6 points.
The
you should have won by 70 points.
Something.
Not by 6.
Cleveland.
Nobody gets 8 more than the other team.
Do you know every running back fumbled?
Oh, my God.
They put out.
Trent Richardson.
No. I'm talking about the Steelers.
Ah, yes.
Dwyer.
Yes, Dwyer.
Rashard Mendenhall.
Mendy.
Rainey. And Chris Redman. Those 4 by guys combined, are you ready for this? They gained 49 yards on the ground.
What?
4 guys, 49 yards rushing on 20.
Okay, there's
attempts.
A guy none of us had heard of that last night on Monday Night Football put up $178.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had combined, they each fumbled the ball once,
mm-hmm.
and Mendenhall and Rainey fumbled twice. They only lost one, though. They had 8 fumbles, and they lost 5 of them. And then Charlie Bratch, who, by the way, is the third-string quarterback because they don't have Leftwich or Ben Roethlisberger, threw 3 interceptions. A total of 8 turnovers, 11 possible turnovers. They lost 8 of them.
Heard Coach Tomlin this morning on the morning drive.
We will survive. We will keep going, and we will keep playing. We will throw whoever we need to throw out there.
I love Mike Tomlin. He's probably he is certainly on my short list of favorite coaches. Fisher, Tomlin.
How are they going to, you know, get the 8 turnovers squared away?
No, I said it, Steven, in my power rankings, and I stand by this. Injuries will be the story of the 2012 season.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. It is a crying shame that a team that can be as good as this will not be, because the fact of the matter is you guys just you don't have the depth, and nobody should have the kind of depth that you guys require. You're sitting there with Hall of Famers on the sideline of your game, wrapped up in walking boots and wearing street clothes. It is depressing. So
pretty bad. 20-14, the final score. The Cleveland Browns beat the Pittsburgh Steelers for the first time since, I don't know.
Forever. Long. 16 tries, 12 very tries, long. A lot. Well, seriously, I'm not kidding. It's been a really long time since they've done that. So it was an ugly performance. Tomlin was extremely animated. Things I want you to YouTube, YouTube, if you haven't yet seen. Coach Tomlin's press conference, YouTube that, because he was extremely agitated and a little funny. Uh-huh. And then the Mark Sanchez butt fumble. You'll want to
butt slide.
You'll want to loop that one over and over again because that was a lot of fun.
It was very funny.
What we're looking at right now is that Big Ben could conceivably play this weekend against the Steelers, even though his injury is potentially life-threatening.
He shouldn't do it.
I couldn't agree more. I really think they should write off this season. I don't see why. It was very kind of the Browns to win and send Mike Holmgren on his way with a happy feeling in his stomach that he got a win. But Mike Holmgren, yes, to bring you up to date on the news, is out. They did not wait till the end of the season. They showed him the door yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught that. It kind of flew under the radar because that's how bad your team is when you lose your president and he's really good, well, historically really good, and nobody reports on it. Steven, I'm looking at the news headlines. I don't see it, but it's there. He was released of his duties because I keep looking for Andy Reid to be fired. So I go to the news every half hour. I'm going to the news, and it's not there yet. But yeah, he's no longer with them. So that is the case of Mike Holmgren.
Wow.
God bless his soul. he's now without football.
According to CBS Sports, it is official. Mike Holmgren has been fired.
They didn't even let him finish the season. What is so bad about this team when you weren't going to win? I mean, with this third win, this assures you the possibility, in air quotes, of going 8-8. So you weren't going to go anywhere anyway, so why not let the man finish the season and keep his dignity in check? No, we've got a new owner, and we're making a strong statement, which is that we're committed to change now. And I don't blame you, but dang, that's pretty harsh.
Ed Werder of ESPN is also reporting that Haslam has named Joe Banner the new CEO and president of the Browns, while Holmgren has departed the organization.
Good luck there, Joe. And I like Joe,
yeah.
But this is a bigger problem than any one man. That's for sure. This Cleveland Browns organization.
Very interesting.
For those living in the dog pound, we're sorry.
Is Pat Shurmur the head coach? Is he next? Do you think he's up? I mean, do they keep him? It's his first year. It's rookie
coach.
Well,
this, you know, I said this to the people. Ollie last night on TalkSport Extra Time, the producer was basically guaranteeing that when Philadelphia lost, no, it was Jordan. Jordan sent me a text when I was doing radio last night that Andy Reid would be fired within the next 48 hours.
Yes.
And
who told you that?
Jordan.
Okay.
He texted me that while I was doing radio, and I said,
I would agree with him.
Well, here's my problem. And you answer me this. You look up the Eagles management, okay?
This, yes.
And nobody can answer me this question when they are asking for Andy Reid's head. Who is your new interim? Okay? The only people you would have as interims, you've already fired. You don't have anybody with any ability to actually put together a game plan and turn around and play a football game. Well, being a head coach is not something you can do like, you know what, Steven? I'm going to go... Tonight, I'm going to be the weatherman for Channel 7. Okay? I'm just going to show up, and I've never done it before, but you know what? What's the worst thing that's going to happen if I don't do weather forecast?
You've got Marty Morenwig. He's the assistant head coach. He's the offensive coordinator. He's got some coaching experience.
Yes. Marty's been in the league a long time.
Marty can
but now,
fill in.
Now, who's going to be the offensive coordinator and who's going to run the offense? This is where it gets interesting.
Well, Morenwig
is your most logical.
He's
got to do both.
He stays as the offensive coordinator, yeah.
He's got to do both. And you've
plays.
Got a brand new defensive coordinator who
Todd
was
Bowles.
Your.
He's the man. That's why we got rid of Castillo.
Yeah. See, I don't think you have good enough options available to you. And you want the guy that you next want, Jeffrey Lurie, to manage this team, you want to be a long-term solution.
Yeah, well, this
so you need
Marty, we're not saying that Marty Morenwig's going to be the head coach forever.
But what you're going to assure
gonna
is that this team gets worse. This team will get worse.
Look, do we really want to win more games? We want a top five pick now. I mean, we're 3-8.
Ah, now we're going all in for the not USC quarterback.
No, it wouldn't be Matt Barkley. No, thank you.
That's been fun. That's been a little fun, let's be honest. That was. To see a USC quarterback finally fall on his face and not get the Heisman and not be the number one pick is kind of amusing.
USC's what, lost 4 in a row now?
Yeah. I
take great comfort in that.
Yeah, there's a happy place inside. Sharon, we love you.
I've slept warm and comfortably in my bed the last couple of nights.
Haven't needed heater either. Just need UCLA to beat Stanford. But no,
they can do it, Jeff.
I like Stanford.
No,
push comes to shove,
dude, we are cheering for the Bruins this week. They're coming to the Rose Bowl because we're
no,
gonna be
going
at that
to the
game.
Farm. They're going to the farm.
I know, but the winner of that game goes to the Rose Bowl. They win the Pac-12.
Why is Oregon going to the Rose Bowl? Oh,
because they're going to a BCS game.
Stop this BCS crap!
Sorry.
Return me to the proper Rose
Bowl. And Oregon's not going to the Rose
Bowl. Where the Pac-10 champion plays the Big Ten champion.
Oregon has no shot of winning the Pac-12.
I know. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is weird. It should be Oregon versus Stanford.
That's what
for
I
the
think.
Pac-12 championship.
But they're in the north, so
yes.
They can't.
So they're both in the north,
what?
So they can't play each other. Exactly. It should be Oregon versus Stanford, a rematch.
UCLA's going to get routed.
I don't know. I think UCLA has a shot in this game. I don't think
you haven't been to the farm. I've been to the farm.
I don't think they did everything last week to win that football game.
Of course they didn't. I know they held back because they need to keep plays for this week.
Right.
The most important game of the last 5 years.
Yes.
For Mora.
I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think, and UCLA's got
a shot. I wish I had his dad somewhere in my sound card.
Okay, I answered your question, Marty Morenwig. So now do you fire him tomorrow?
Fire.
Or today?
Fire.
He's gone.
Fire him out. Keep Bye, checking Andy. The news every half hour.
Yeah, that's what I've been
Keep
doing.
Keep checking the news every half hour. You too.
Yeah, I have been. I actually, this first thing I checked this morning because I thought that,
I know, I overslept. I got up at 7. I'm like, yeah. Oh, crap, it might have already happened. Okay, so that is what's gone on there. Seahawks, Dolphins, Steven. I am terribly disappointed in the Seattle Seahawks.
Sprinkler system!
The Woo! Third quarter on a sunny, warm day Turn in South Beach, system. Miami. You do what everybody does in warm climates when it's a nice sunny day. You turn on the sprinklers and let the kids run around.
Yeah, that's what they did.
That's what they did. But they it was the losing, middle of the game.
They were losing 14-7.
I know.
Tannehill had just scrambled for a 19-yard gain.
And in a Buffalo Wild Wings moment.
Yes, and then after that, they're in the huddle, and literally they're in the huddle. What the hell? Well, and the guys look up from the huddle, and it's like,
son of a sprinkler.
Did you see the one ref run yeah. away from the sprinkler oh, yeah. like he was going to melt or something?
Dude, I'm melting! I'm that referee.
Was when that
comes,
you?
When it comes to unexpected things that will get me messy or dirty or change my state,
yeah.
I run. I'm all in once I accept it. Like, we're going to play mud football. We're going to have a mud ball. If we're going to have a mud ball, I'm all in, dude. I don't want there to be any part of my body that isn't covered in mud.
He ran from the sidelines.
He ran from a sprinkler.
We've all run from sprinklers. No, I run to the sprinklers.
We're on a golf course. We're playing. You just stand there and let the thing hit you.
Get me wet. If it's hot, especially if it's
hot. I want to keep my grips dry.
Well, you get them dry. They'll get dry.
My grips. So I'm very fussy about my grips. I'm very fussy about my grips.
Oh, you have towels. Anyways, the Dolphins somehow climb back into the game and escape with
sprinklers.
A 24.
And the poor Seahawks. 21. They've only won one freaking road game this season, and I'm afraid that they're going to have to win another. They're going to have to win two road games if they're going
to
make the
they're
playoffs.
They're going to have to win another.
And I don't know where that's going to come from, Steven, because I've looked at their schedule, and their home games, they're going to be difficult, but their road games are damn near impossible. So here's what they got coming up left on the road. They got three more road games. They are at Chicago. I'm wrong. They've got two. And they're at Buffalo in the middle of freaking December.
Those are their final two games.
Those are their last two road games.
And then who do they have at home?
Tough. They've got Arizona fine. They've got San Francisco.
That's three losses right there, dude.
This is my point. The magical season that has been fun for the Seattle Seahawks is probably coming to a grinding halt. Which is why I picked them, Steve, because I have them in the playoffs,
yes.
And which meant they had to beat Miami.
Yes.
You were coming off a bye. You're playing Miami. You have to win. But this, no.
So I take great comfort now in knowing that had I gone with the Dolphins or the Bears, either way, I was going to win the challenge game. I'm very happy about that.
Woo-hoo.
And since my iPad died, Woo-hoo. I will kind of tell the people I don't even have the smartest man alive to play again. So I'm kind of
your sad. iPad died.
It died. I can't plug it in to the.
Yeah, you got to lift the lid on your laptop.
Is that what?
That's what it is. Yeah. It's not giving power because the laptop lid's closed. It doesn't do. It's a funny thing.
It's strange.
Sorry, dude, but you are the smartest man alive. Certainly this week, where you schooled me.
We're all tied. We're all tied up after 12 weeks, 6-6.
I
don't like it.
Look.
I want to have at least like a 2-3 game lead
last
by
year
now.
Where I was kicking your
yeah,
ass.
It was. I think this at week 12, you were up by like 4, and it was
yep.
like.
I was actually being somewhat cavalier about my picks. Whatever, this, maybe
I'll
this.
Pick
I don't
that
know.
One.
Ravens at Chargers. Holy crap. I mean, I feared the Chargers. I had good reason to fear the Chargers. Chargers play decently at home. Yeah,
all I'm saying about this
game, Jekyll and Hyde.
4th and 29.
Oh, my gosh. 4th and 29. That will be. There's the play, the catch. There's only 4th and 29. You have to
29.
YouTube that, too. There's three YouTube must-sees this week. 4th and 29.
In my
Little Ray Rice, the running back from Rutgers.
In my good, bad, and the ugly, I catapulted that play to
the
exceptional.
Excellent.
4th and 29.
Joe Flacco had no right Ray Rice in that position.
He threw the ball 2 yards. He caught that 2 yards.
Steven and I, what is our biggest criticism?
If you need 29 yards, throw the ball 30.
Don't throw the ball two when it's fourth down and the game will be over.
Yes.
Over. Joe Flacco, you take off running with the ball before you make some sacrificial lamb out of some poor putz that's 2 yards away from you. Here, go
you
fix,
take it.
Fix this. Fix, please fix it. Oh, my God,
zig,
he's fixing it.
Zag, zoom, run all the way across the field, turn it up. He gained 29 and a half yards on fourth and 29.
Maybe 29 and a third. It was just enough.
Just enough
just
to get him
enough.
The first down.
They took 15 minutes to measure that play.
Well, because what had happened
annoying.
Is they had initially
I know,
put it, you
and
know,
the
they
challenge.
Made a first down, and then they had to review it, and then they had to move the ball back, and
right.
they had to respot it.
I know, and then, remeasure. So,
but Jeffrey, when it was a first down, I said, this is the San Diego Chargers this season.
Sure.
There was a minute 59 left on the clock. It was the 2-minute warning.
That's good.
Baltimore has no timeouts. It's fourth and 29.
Sure.
You tackle Ray Rice.
What are the odds of converting, first of all, just fourth and 29?
Point. You could win the lottery before converting fourth and 29.
No. Honestly. What are the odds? Really?
I don't know. It's
put
slim.
A percentage chance on
2%?
It. 2%? I put it lower.
Okay, 1%?
Less than 1%,
less
I'd
than
say.
1%.
Less than 1% chance to make. This was a 1 in 100 kind of situation.
Yes.
And it was that
one
exciting.
1 in 1,000. What is that? Jeff, what was the last time? And the,
so
no, the last
half a percent.
Fourth and 26 that was the longest play had been fourth and 26. It happened in the playoffs.
Ever?
Philadelphia Eagles.
Ever?
Donovan McNabb to Freddie Mitchell through the Bob.
But
Green
that
Bay
was
Packers.
Through the this, air.
Through the air.
Through
yes,
the
yes,
air.
Yes.
This
yes.
was all Ray Rice.
Right, it was
him willing. Now, there's people that are going to say, look, the Chargers were stupid then, and everyone stacked on the left side. Okay. Ray Rice still had to get through that left side.
Still had to
turn it up the right side.
27 yards. Because the ball only traveled two.
And break six tackles. You, Ray Rice, did it because your heart is better than any heart I know in this league. And man,
certainly better
you're
than
awesome.
Anybody's on the San Diego Chargers. There were like five guys who had a chance to tackle him, and they didn't. Game then
Rams
they,
Cardinals
38-yarder. They tied it, went to overtime. Another 38-yarder by Tucker in overtime. They win 16-13, and the Chargers now stick a fork in them. They're done. All right, there you go.
Rams 4-6-1 now at the Cardinals 4-7.
Let me hear it.
Steven, thank you.
You're welcome. Why thank would you. Anybody want to take the Cardinals? They had Ryan Lindley starting. Dude, he was awful. He threw four picks in this game. Ken Wisenhunt.
You got a ball
hawking
team.
I will go to the grave, and Ken Wisenhunt will never be able to convince me that he made the right decision in starting Lindley over either Skelton or Cobb. I'm sorry. Horrible decision. See you later, because you're not coaching the Arizona Cardinals anymore.
I saw something in him.
Sorry.
I saw something in
sorry.
Him. I saw something in him.
Anyways, the final score
can
there
we
is...
call him Wisenhunt? That's what you were almost going there.
Heisenwanter.
Heisenwant. He's in want of his highs.
31-17 final. The two touchdowns for the Cardinals came on Beanie Wells. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Seriously, picked him up everywhere. Started him in several places and was very happy.
But that's all she wrote. The Cardinals, yes, they are in
so
the
basically
midst.
The Cardinals have Beanie Wells and Larry Fitzgerald. You have a running back two and a wide receiver one.
Not good.
Not a good foundation for a team. The
after
wide receiver
starting
great.
The season 4-0, the Cardinals have dropped 7 straight games.
And we told you so.
Stick a fork in us!
We told you so.
Done. All right, time for nap games, Jeffrey. Give me the bang.
Yes, sir.
Bang, bang. All right, real quickly, Broncos and Chiefs, although this was tighter than most of us saw.
Yeah.
The Denver Broncos did turn it on at the end. The Kansas City Chiefs, 3 field goals, Jeffrey. Back-to-back games. No touchdowns last week. 2 field goals this week. 3 field goals. You're a field goal team. Just like it.
Here, field goal.
There,
field
goal.
Everywhere,
a field
goal.
Oh, Kansas City had a farm. Field goal. That's all they got. And the final there, 17-9. Kansas City drops to an abysmal, Jeff.
1 and 10. How'd they win one?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Who did they beat? Now I'm kind of curious.
They beat a good team, Steven.
Did they beat a good team? No, they didn't.
I swear to you.
No, they didn't beat a good team. No, did they?
You keep vamping. That's good. That's working.
Oh, my gosh.
They beat a good team.
No, they didn't.
I'm on them right now. They beat the Saints. They beat the Saints, Steven.
Really?
In New Orleans. In overtime.
Oh, that's
27-24.
Yeah, but that was the 0-4 Saints where they couldn't stop anybody. And Jamal Charles rushed for like 291 yards in that game.
There you go. But that's what it took.
Yes.
A Herculean effort against a team that had yet to find its identity.
Yes, yes.
That's what it took for you to get a win. And you guys sucked. People said you were going to win this division. They were fools.
1-10.
Tennessee Titans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Boy. Disappointment for me on this one, the Jaguars.
No, you got this one. You got this one.
I got this one. Oh, that's right. You
know
what?
I crisscrossed your thingies.
When my thing gets crisscrossed, bad things happen.
I had the Titans.
I made a new magenta
Jags.
Color, which is the magenta color says, I beat Steven. It's a happy magenta.
Hey,
I beat Steven. Yay.
It was the one out of the five games
I took
that
the
you
Jaguars.
Got. Good for you.
Yay.
I don't have my clap sound.
They only had one win.
Yeah, and how did you pick them to win a team that had four?
I just – look, it's Tennessee, and they're not very good.
Just the Jags didn't have –
And they were at
home.
And
they still came back to almost win that game at the end.
They did. And then the Carolina Panthers, the Philadelphia Eagles. I would still like to think I took the Panthers, but history says I did not. And I am terribly disappointed in myself.
He is disappointed,
because
Jeffrey,
I knew better.
30-22. Look.
We talked about it.
The Eagles are done, dog. Right? Well, stick a fork in them! And Carolina's done, too. Stick a fork in them! That's a lot of teams we stuck forks in today, dog.
But you know what? As I said a long time ago, these division winners ain't changing. And the wild card teams, you cannot touch them.
Not changing. That may change. I'm holding it.
Oh, those please. He's talking about the NFC
East.
He's talking about the NFC East.
Hey, the Giants schedule at Baltimore, Falcons, Saints, Redskins, that is difficult. Do not give them that division just yet.
Moving the Eagles.
Eagles go last.
Like it matters.
Put the Eagles at the end.
All right. Cowboys just slip back a spot and he's happy. That tells you how delusional he is. The Giants are going to win the division comfortably.
The Redskins and the Cowboys are two games back
in
the Giants.
There's not that many left to play. There's only a few left to play.
Did you hear the Giants schedule? Yeah. Ravens, Falcons, Redskins, Saints.
Okay.
They have four difficult games yet.
That's tough. I don't disagree with you, but the other teams suck.
But the Bears and the Packers, that division still is very questionable. They have to play each other still, the Packers and the Bears.
They've got the problem that the Giants have, which is they've got a terrific front seven to get after quarterbacks. And that's going to be a problem for Aaron Rodgers.
The Packers already beat them. So they beat the Bears again.
Right.
They win the division.
And what happens usually in division series? You split them.
There
you go. Atlanta's not going anywhere.
No.
San Francisco's not going anywhere. And it really
the East and the North, still there's questions.
I'll give you that the North, there could be a flop, but that's about it.
All right. I still believe the East is wide open.
All right, if you think the East in play, send Steven a fun note. And if you don't be a jerk. How's that?
I'm Steven Miranda.
I'm Jeff Ellis. And we want to say a real sorry on the dumbest wager line. We missed that. Packers Gigantes blew that one big time.
We thought they were going to win outright, dude.
We did, but we were wrong.
But you know what? We haven't been wrong in a while.
I can't put anything in their hands. We're too stupid.
So, Jeff Ellis.
Steven Miranda.
NFL Rants and Raves. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We're out.